chapter 16, verse number 22. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. While you're turning there, let me just make a little introduction here. There was a news article in the Newsweek magazine called Music on the Mind. And in that article, it was mentioned the fact that even infants smile when the air is filled with perfect fourths and fifths. Notes like C and F are seventh steps like C and G. But babies hate the tritone, which has two notes are separated by half steps like C and F sharp. Now that don't make any sense to me, but if you know music, it does to you. Amen. But I know what I like to hear and I know what I don't. But even babies, and it's said that even babies in the womb before they're born respond to music. There's just something about us that we are pre-wired to respond to music. Even before we're born, even after we're born. Have you ever found yourself humming something like, mm-mm good? Hmm? You ever found yourself doing that? You know why Campbell's Soup paid millions of dollars to have that spread around? Because here I am 20 years later going, good. I wish it were an Oscar Mayer wiener. After all these years. And that's old, so far away. But we still remember that stuff. We can remember hundreds, literally hundreds of tunes. But lyrics, words, that's a whole other ballgame. I proved that Sunday night. I started three courses and couldn't finish any of them. I knew the tune. I knew how it went. I just couldn't remember the words. Of course, they were golden oldies, you know. Back when the devil was a little boy. It's been a while. But we tried. But we're wired, literally wired for worship from the womb. A researcher by the name of Matthew Alper wrote a book called The God Part of the Brain. And after much research and experimentation, he discovered that there's a part of the brain located both in the prefrontal lobe and the temporal cortex that is specifically programmed for worship. God designed us to worship. Amen. In every culture around the world, people worship because we were created. We were wired by God Himself for worship. Amen. So this morning I want to preach on that subject, wired for worship. Amen. Have fun with that one, Cherie. She tries to find a picture for each sermon that she puts on the web. Acts chapter 16, verse 22, and the multitude rose up to gather against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas griped and complained and murmured. Well, I don't know what version that was. I got off track. That was the modern Christian version, I'm afraid. Amen. It says then at midnight, let's do it again. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. Amen. There's something about the human that we're just wired to worship. And worship can become, did you know that worship can become a habit just like complaining can? Well, I snuck up on you with that one, didn't I? Amen. Just as easily as you can complain, you can learn to praise. David is called the sweet psalmist because he wrote about half of the Psalms Old Testament. He was a writer of Psalms. He was a singer of Psalms. David learned how to praise early in life. David learned to praise while he was watching sheep graze. Amen. And he wrote some of the greatest Psalms. He wrote the Psalm 23. It's the most beloved, perhaps, of all the Psalms. Amen. Almost all children learn, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And they learned the beautiful 23rd Psalm. If anybody knows a Psalm today, you probably know Psalm 23. That was a Davidic Psalm. David learned how to praise early in life. David learned how to praise through difficult situations when Saul sought his life and he chased him. Though David had been anointed to be the king of Israel, he was being treated like a fugitive and hunted like a hound hunts a hare. He was chasing him from place to place all through the Judean wilderness, and David was running for his life. But in the middle of that, David learned to praise. When David was exalted and sat upon the throne of Israel as a king, one of his first acts was to bring the Ark of the Covenant from its old tent in Shiloh and said, "We got to bring that to Jerusalem. I want it right here. I want God close to me. I want His presence as close as I can get it." And so he had a procession go down to bring the Ark back to Jerusalem. And I know they had a few bugs to work out. The first time they put it on a cart, and that didn't work out because it was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priest. And when they got it right, the Bible says that they went 6 steps. And David said, "Hold on, I feel a praise break coming on." And they stopped, and they offered sacrifices, and they sang praises, and they brought the ark into Jerusalem with much praise and much excitement and much worship. And David established courses of singers. And there was praise in the temple, in that old tabernacle, that old garment of skins. Amen. And it carried on 24 hours a day. Wow. Who's awake at, 2 o'clock in the morning to hear the praise? God. They had the right idea. It wasn't how many were going to hear me sing. It was, "God, can you hear me sing?" Amen. It was not as unto the congregation, but it was as unto the Lord. And the praises went forth 24 hours a day because David learned how to praise. Learned how to praise. Then later on, David had a battle. And in that battle, there was so much taken from him. He came with his men to a place called Ziklag. He had left his wife and his daughters and his sons and all their stuff in Ziklag. And when he came back to Ziklag, in the distance they could see smoke rising from the ruins. Somebody had come into Ziklag while David and his army were chasing somebody else, and they had burned the city. And when they got there, the wives and the children were gone, and their possessions were gone, and everything was gone, and all that was there was smoke and ashes and ruin. And when they saw that, the Bible says that every man just wept until he had no more tears. His family was gone. His possessions were gone. It seemed as everything worth living for was gone. And it got so bad that they turned on David and they started talking about stoning him because he had led them off and left their families vulnerable. And they were so angry and so bitter and so grief-stricken. They weren't thinking straight. All they wanted was revenge. What a terrible situation to find yourself in. But when David was in that situation, the Bible said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He went to the high priest, Abiathar, and he said, "Do you have an ephod?" An ephod was a garment of worship. And so David put on his garment of worship, and he went off somewhere, and he got alone. I don't know what he said. I don't know how he started. I don't know if he sang a psalm. I don't know if he prayed a prayer. I don't know if he started out with lament. But somewhere he began to say his words, open his mouth. Hey, when you don't feel like praising, praise anyway. When it hurts to praise, praise anyway. When you can't feel anything, praise anyway. When you're discouraged and you're hurt and you're down and you're bruised and you're bleeding, praise anyway. He just started somehow by opening his mouth. Maybe it was griping and complaining that started. Did you know the 22nd Psalm has 21 verses of lament? Jesus quoted that on the cross. 21 verses of lament. Some of the worst laments and horrible things that happened and pouring out of the soul of the suffering. I don't know, maybe David started out with Psalm 22. I don't know where he started, but somehow Psalm 22 changes somewhere about the 21st verse. All the lament's over and the psalmist bursts into praise, and then he begins to praise God. I don't know where David started, but I know where he stopped. Amen. When he got up on his feet and somehow he began to praise God, and somewhere in that praise, suddenly strength began to flow back into his being and into his heart, and somehow he started asking God, "Do you want me to go get him?" I'll tell you what, praise will put the go get him spirit in you. You'll quit groveling. And you'll quit feeling down. It'll put some steel in your backbone. It'll put some strength in your feet. It'll put some vision in your eyes. It'll put some fire in your spirit. It'll put some passion in your heart. Praise will do that. David got to praising God, and the next thing you know, he's ready for action. He said, "Shall I pursue?" The Lord said, "Go get him, son." Amen. And he did. He went back. He said, "Fellas, get up. Enough of this complaining. Enough of this crying. Enough of this moaning. It's time to go get what's ours." Amen. Praise will do that. You can get all down and depressed, but the only thing that's going to get you back up and get you on your feet is praise. So he began to praise the Lord. He got up. He got his army together. They pursued. The Bible says they killed all their enemies that wasn't on camels. They couldn't outrun camels. Amen. But everything else was mowed down. They recovered their wives. They recovered their children. They not only got their stuff back, but they got the stuff of all the army. They had a whole lot more than they started with. Praise is always like that. When you get through, you're going to have a whole lot more than when you started. You don't only get back your stuff, but you get back all the stuff the devil took from you and somebody else. And the greatest thing about praise is you come out with a testimony. Praise the Lord. Amen. So David comes back, and he's got all of his stuff back, and he's so excited. That's what praise will do. Paul and Silas, all they did was good. They found this poor little girl that had an evil spirit, a demonic spirit, tormented by that thing. Him and they put up with it as long as they could, and then they turned around and cast the spirit out. Wasn't that a good thing? It's a good thing if you're not making money off of it. But there were some old wicked men that were making money off of that young girl. And it made them mad because Their money was gone. The goose that laid the golden egg had been remedied. Amen. And they were upset. And they went to the magistrates. And they accused Paul and Silas. And they came and put hands on them and threw them in the inner prison and put their feet in stocks. A lot of people got their hands in stocks, in bonds and money market. That wasn't the kind of stocks we're talking about here. They put their feet in the stocks and they were bound fast and they chained them and they beat them. And here they were in their prison cell and they're broken and they're hurting and they're in pain. And it says at midnight, now I don't know what they did before midnight. They may have licked their wounds for a while. They may have put some serious thought in this business for a little while. I'm not real sure what they went through. I don't know exactly what happened before midnight, but I know what happened at midnight. About midnight, they got to say, you know what? Enough of this. It's time to sing. Woo! Hallelujah! And the Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing praises to God. Woo! Hallelujah! I don't think it can be said any better than the old preacher said it. He said, when Paul and Silas began to sing, he said, the Lord turned around to the angels and he said, hear that, boys? He said, you hear that? He said, that's some of mine right down there. He said, and God leaned back on his throne and started to pat his foot. Amen. Because heaven is his throne and earth is his a footstool. Amen. And about the time he started patting his foot, the globe must have been right about Philippi. Amen. And when his foot began to hit the earth, there was an earthquake and the gates flew open and Paul and Silas were delivered. Their bonds and their stocks fell off and they stood up and the doors all flew open. Hey, I'm telling you, there's a power that comes in praise that you can't find anywhere else. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if that's how it happened, but it happened. Sounds good to me. Amen. Paul and Silas began to praise, the Bible said. And all the doors were open. I like this. Listen, it said that everyone's bands were loosed. Everybody say everyone. It wasn't just Paul and Silas. It was everyone. That's the kind of praise we need around here that'll get everybody loosened up. Yeah, they may start out with one or two, but if you'll keep on praising, in a little while everybody's going to get loosened up. Everybody's bonds are going to fall off, and the doors are going to open. Yeah, there's only some doors that only praise will open. Nothing else will open it. Money won't open it. Influence won't open it. Amen. But praise can open doors that only God can open. Hallelujah. So there was a praise that went forth. And Paul and Silas began to praise the Lord. Jesus taught us perhaps the greatest lesson in praise. Lowest point in his life. Most lonely hour. The most agonizing time. He was literally hanging on a cross. His back had been beaten until it was a bloody mass. There were hands pierced by nails, and feet were pierced by nails, and a crown of thorns on his brow. His face had been spit on and beaten until Isaiah said, when you looked at him, you couldn't even recognize him. And there he hung between heaven and earth, trying to get one more agonizing breath. And suddenly, from that cross, he began to sing. I believe it was a song. I think it was a song. It was the 22nd psalm that David wrote. And Jesus began to sing it. He started saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And he began to sing his song. And it's translated for us here. It said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But every Hebrew mind went back to Psalm 22, because those are the opening words for the 22nd Psalm. The 22nd Psalm by some is called the Fifth Gospel. It contains 15 different messianic quotations. It's one of the most quoted of the Psalms in the New Testament. And that's what Jesus began to sing from the cross. Amen. Even in the hour of seeming defeat, he knew that praise would win the day. It's praise that does it, folks. We've got to learn to praise. Stay in the spirit of praise, regardless of what happens in life. Yes, your emotions are real, and you're allowed to feel emotion. We have to go through some things, and we're not immune to pain, or suffering, or disappointment, or loneliness. All those things are real. But even in the midst of that, we need to learn to praise. Amen. I love to read about John. You know, John was the one apostle that we know of that did not die a martyr's death. All the rest were martyred. It wasn't because they didn't try. According to tradition, they really tried to kill John. They just couldn't kill him because the Lord said, "You're going to live till I say so." Amen. And I mean that he did. They did all kinds of stuff to him. They beat him and tried to boil him and all. If that won't do it, I don't know what. But it didn't work. God kept John in boiling oil just like he kept the three Hebrew boys in the fire furnace. I'm telling you something. If God's not through with you, there ain't nobody can take your life. Amen. And John wrote about a couple of fellows in the book of Revelation. He said, and they're going to kill them. They're going to lay in the street for 3 days. And they're going to send gifts, and it's going to be like Christmas. Everybody's going to be celebrating because the prophets of God are dead. And after 3 days, they're going to just stand up like nothing happened. Amen. I'm telling you, we serve a God that, if you're going to believe in God, go ahead and get a big one. God, don't give me old puny God that's got limitations. Give me a God that's got all power and all might and all authority. God that can do things. A God that can hear me. A God that can help me. A God that sees me and knows me and stays with me through the good times and the bad. So, John, they did everything they could to him. Amen. So finally they said, well, if we can't do anything else, let's just put him out on an island where he can't bother anybody else. Let's lock him away in solitary. So they sent him out in the middle of the Aegean to an isle called Patmos. And there he was on the island, and the Bible says, but it was the Lord's day, and he said, I was in the Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad somebody knows how to get in the Spirit? If you're going to have church, get in the Spirit. Amen. Well, if it's the Lord's day, get in the Spirit. It wasn't the spirit of murmuring and complaining. It wasn't the spirit of slumber. Amen. He said, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Woo! You know how you get in the Spirit? By praise, by worship, by glorifying God, by getting your mind on Jesus. On that island, he had his mind on the Lord. Amen. And suddenly, the heavens opened up, and God appeared to him and began to speak to him. And he said, John, he said, I want you to write this down. And you can read it for yourself. The book of Revelation was a revelation to John on the island of Patmos after he began to praise on the Lord's day. Now, I don't know what happened before the Lord's day. I don't know what happened to John before that Spirit came upon him. I don't know what contradiction he had to press through. I don't know what kind of opposition he had to fight. I don't know what kind of feelings and emotions he had to overcome. But I do know that at some point on the Lord's day, he broke through. Amen. We use in Pentecostal terminology, we call it praying through. Did you ever pray through? If you hadn't, you need to. What does that mean? It means just what it says. You pray till you get through. Amen. Praise God. When something breaks, and you know when it breaks, You know when you get through. You know when you passed over to the other side. Amen. And you're standing in the sunshine instead of the shadow. And you're standing in the sun instead of the rain. Amen. And suddenly the way is clear and the fog has lifted and your vision and your sight becomes very open and very obvious and you can see clearly. Now you've prayed through. You feel strong. You're like David. You see, I could jump over a wall and run through a troop. Amen. Sometimes you get so strong you feel like you could run through a wall and jump over a troop. Amen. Praise God. He just got bold and the Holy Ghost came upon him. That's what we're talking about. Wired for worship. And everybody here is wired for worship. If somebody can just find the button, you're wired for worship. Praise, everybody is. Everybody is. Amen. Brother Fred Hyde comes to mind. A hopeless alcoholic in the Skid Row in the Bowery of Old New Orleans. Singing in bars for another hit on a bottle. His life in a downward spiral. He didn't have any songs of praise. Just had old honky-tonk songs. Old guitar. But the Master stepped in. Heard an apostolic message about repentance. Baptism in Jesus' name for remission of sins. Then filling the gift power of the Holy Ghost. Brother Hyde responded. God filled his life. God chose him to be a preacher, a missionary, a pastor, and a founder of Spirit of Life Ministries. And he took that old guitar and he gave him a new song. He didn't sing about crying in his beer anymore. Amen. Didn't sing honky-tonk songs anymore. But he began to sing songs about deliverance, and songs about freedom, and songs about the liberty that he experienced in the Lord. Amen. God changed everything for Fred Hyde. His tape's still available, Raised from the Ruins. Anybody heard that tape? If you haven't, you need to. Amen. His own personal testimony. And it has touched the lives of literally tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands by now, of prisoners and alcoholics all across the United States and around the world. Amen. It all started because a man that was in the lowest point of his life, God reached down, began to praise, and God gave him a song. Amen. I'm telling you today, we're wired for worship. We just need somebody to push the right button. Let's stand together. Praise God. Thank you for your time and your attention here this morning. I wonder if anybody here this morning is sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. You're tired of being down. You're tired. You've complained until you're weary with complaining. You're weary with thinking. Your soul is just weary with the wrestling. And you've thought until your thinker's worn out. Your patience are frayed. And you've tried all that. You've tried counsel. You've tried listen to what people say. You've poured your heart out to others, and yet still the trouble seems to remain. Let me ask you, have you tried praise? Have you tried praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you tried praise? Brother Alan Oggs tells a story of when he had a heart attack, went to the hospital after they had done what they could do. He asked the nurses and everybody, he said, "Would you please leave the room?" And he reached down and he said he just wanted to see if it was still there. He just wanted to see if it was still there. So when everybody left the room, he just started out like his own inimitable style. And he just started out by saying there was a boy named David watching after his father's sheep with the staff and with the sling. And he began to unfold the story. And it rose up in his heart laying in that old hospital bed. Tears rolled down his cheeks when he realized, yeah, it's still there. It's still there. Amen. Sometimes in life we find ourselves in situations that we go through, disappointments and faults and failures. Sometimes we even wonder, is it still there? Seems like it's been a while since I felt it. Is it still there? Well, I want to give you a chance to find out today. And before it ever happens, I'm going to step out and I'm going to declare to you that, yeah, it's still there. Just open up that praise today. Let it issue forth from your lips and then from your heart. And you'll find, yeah, it's still there. Amen. This altar's open today. I invite you to come. Amen. And try it for yourself. I invite you to come. Just open up and just let praise begin to flow.